My name is Paul. I'm going to do the Bible reading with us today. We're reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And Hamish has told me, so I have it on good authority, we're only going to verse 26. So we're giving it a one-verse haircut. Let me open before we read the scriptures in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given it to us. We pray that you would open our eyes, that we would behold wonderful things in your law. We pray that through it, you would inform our heads, you would shape our hearts and equip our hands. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason to stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Amen.
Oh, good morning, everybody. It really is wonderful to be here with you all. There's certainly a lot more familiar faces than I was expecting, but no, it is great to be with you all. Honestly, a privilege. In the case we haven't met, my name is Hamish. I am fortunate enough to be the MTS apprentice down at Snug Christian Church with Dan Headley. I thought share briefly a little bit about myself in case you don't know me. So I've lived here in Margate all 27 years of my life in the same house. So I am very much a local. I'm married to Leah over here as of the start of this year, so almost 8 months now. I started this ministry apprenticeship at the start of 2024, so I'll be finishing that at the end of the year. Stepping back just a little bit, just looking a bit more at how God's worked in my life. I grew up in a Christian household, but I was a bit of a late bloomer. I came to know Christ, to receive Christ when I was about 18, so 9 years ago now. And I'm continually blown away by just the depth of God's word. He's so loving and tender toward us. And so it really is a blessing to be able to devote so much time to learn how to preach as part of my MTS. The whole idea behind MTS, if you're not familiar with it, is to free up anyone and everyone, whoever the individual might be, so that they can invest all of their time into doing ministry work. For me, that's looked like a lot of learning how a church runs. So it's been really cool to invest heaps of time into that. You get to also be closely discipled by someone. So I've been really fortunate to be closely discipled by Dan and a few other guys there at Snug and just have that availability. It's awesome. I would really recommend it. So I hope that gives you enough insight into me. I'll be around afterwards if you'd like to chat and get to know me a bit more. But it is wonderful to be here. It really is. So let's get some insights into God's word. But of course, we need God's help. So let's pray. Please join me. Lord, I thank you that we can meet together as your people this morning, as your body. I thank you, Lord, that we get to serve each other, learn from each other, be sharpened by each other. And Lord, I thank you that we get to put into practice your love that you have shown us as we show your love to others. Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning, that you would please help us to sit under your word, to apply it to our hearts and our lives, so that we may leave here not as we came, but rather more like Christ, both encouraged but also repenting as you call us to. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was 19 years old, I would often go out on a Saturday night, of all things, clubbing and drinking with my mates. Now, I was there to say g'day. Of course, they were there to find fulfillment and pleasure. I was there to have fun, a dance, you know, a chat, you know, a real social event. However, I would often think to myself, why on earth am I here? It wasn't really a place I was comfortable, and drinking too much alcohol just made me feel terrible. I certainly didn't share my mates' reasons for going clubbing. I didn't see the sense in paying too much money to, you know, have too much to drink or find a lover or whatever it is they were out there for. I didn't see the sense there. And I just remember one night I was out there at town. I walked into this club. I went outside, out the back, sat down with my mates. We just sat around chatting for about an hour. And as I was sitting there in the freezing cold, I was just thinking, why on earth am I here? You know, it's 1 a.m. Why aren't I in bed? You know, I'm uncomfortable. I don't really know where I belong here. Do I really even fit here? Why am I here? And this is what I believe many of the men and women in the Corinthian church nearly 2,000 years ago were asking as well. You know, their church was just full of divisions, of sects, of cliques, making it really difficult for anyone to come in and know where they belonged. Their church was full of spiritual gifts, people prophesying, performing miracles, speaking in tongues. You know, so it left many of them who didn't have those gifts really questioning, why am I here? Do I belong here? Do I really fit in? And perhaps you sometimes feel like that too with church. You know, all these people seem to know where they fit. They've got their roles, they've got their abilities, they know where they fit here. But what about me? Do I belong here? You know, why am I here? So let me ask you this morning, why are you a part of this church? Why are you a part of this church? You know, why are you dedicated to this church? I mean, you could have stayed home this morning, worked around the house, but no, you're here. You didn't have to come here, but you chose to. So why are you part of this church? Some of you will no doubt answer, well, because I follow Jesus, and that's a great thing, it really is. But I want us to spend just a little bit more time this morning really fleshing this out, teething it out. We're going to look at just 3 points, of course. Every sermon has 3 points, what's with that? From our passage this morning to actually really flesh out this question. The first one is, the first reason why you're here is because you've been united to the people sitting around you. You've been united to the people sitting around you. The second one is that you are an important part of this church. You are an important part of this church. And the third one is that you can't do it alone. Not one of us, especially not one of us, can do it alone. So that's where we're going this morning, with those 3 points. So let's jump right into the first one. Why are you part of this church? Well, Paul here answers the foundations of this question, the core of it, the theology behind it. See if you can spot it from verses 12 through to 14. It says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Many parts. Many people make up the one church. And we see that the many parts are all baptized by the one Spirit. In other words, they receive the Holy Spirit so as to form the one body, the one church. So to truly be united to the people sitting around you, you must receive the Holy Spirit. So what makes us a part of the church is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. So as to be united to each other, we must receive the Holy Spirit. And this is wonderful because it means that you've been united to the people around you simply by receiving the Holy Spirit. And that's our first point this morning, that you've been united to the people sitting around you. You are united to one way, the people to your left and to your right, by the Holy Spirit living in you. You've been united to the people sitting around you. But this is foundational. You know, we don't come together as a church just because we enjoy soccer or having a good chat or to talk about economics or because we're here to discuss football or anything else. No, we are here together now because of God's Spirit. It's not our abilities to serve, our abilities to teach or encourage or to pray that brings us together. It's the Holy Spirit within us, living in us. You've been united to the people sitting around you. My wife, Leah, just to throw us straight under the bus, played netball for many years competitively. As you know, of course, netball is a team sport. Now, I'm sure she could play every position if she wanted to on the netball court, but if she were a one-man band, she wouldn't stand a chance against the team, would she? No way could she win. Maybe if they're all this tall, but I'm not sure. But what makes her team a team? You know, is it the fact they paid money? Is it their passion for netball? Is it their individual skills that makes them a team? No. I'm sure there's many days where they just rock up to training or rock up to a game. They don't want to be there. Oh, I'd rather be elsewhere. It's their commitment to each other, to the team, that makes them a part of that team. A commitment to work together during training and during games, to play netball together. If Leah decided that she wanted to be a part of the team but never showed up to training and barely came to the games, well, I'm sure she'd just get kicked off the team. As a team, they had a clear outcome. Maybe it was to win, but primarily it was actually to play netball together. So in Leah's case, it was her commitment to the team that made her a part of the team. And this is how God wants us to think about church. Except it's not as much about our commitment to our church or to God as it is God's commitment to us. You see, God is committed to us. God is committed to having us on his team, the church. And we know this because he has given us the Holy Spirit. What unites this team, the church, is the Holy Spirit living in us, given us by God. If you've received God's Spirit, then you've been united to the people sitting around you. You see, Jesus, in his goodness, in his loving kindness, appeared 2,000 years ago to save. He died for this world, not based on any good done by us, but purely his mercy. And when we put our trust in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit who comes and dwells within us. When we ask God to save us and receive the Holy Spirit, we become part of the church. If you follow Jesus as your King and your Savior, as I know many of you do, the reason you're here this morning is because you belong here. You belong here. You are united to the church by God himself. God has given you the Holy Spirit to unite you to this church. But do you know that you belong here? Like, do you truly know it? You know, we say we belong to families or to teams, but do you recognize that you actually belong to this church? Do you recognize that you belong to this church? If you don't yet follow Jesus, then I'm really glad you're here. We all are. We are so glad that you're here. But I hope that you recognize, in order to be a part of the church, it's not just by rocking up on Sundays and having a chat with people. It's by putting your trust in Jesus that truly makes you a part of the church. It's the Holy Spirit that unites you to the church. Coming back to our question, why are you part of this church? Well, because you've been united to the people sitting around you. As a follower of Jesus, you are united to this church. by the Holy Spirit living in you. Why else are you part of this church? Because you're an important part of the church. That brings us to our second point this morning. You're an important part of this church. Just like in a body, every body part matters, so it is with the church. In the church, every person matters, and that means you. Look with me to verse 15 through to 20. It says, "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Every member, like the foot and the ear, is important to the body. Every member contributes a distinct sense, an ability, a function to the body. Just because you may look different to those around you, you might have different abilities and different gifts or strengths and weaknesses. It doesn't mean then that you aren't part of the body. It does not exclude you from the church, even if you feel at times unnecessary, like you have nothing to give to this church. It does not mean that you stop being part of the church. And who is it that has given us our abilities, our gifts? Well, it's God. If the whole body were an ear or an eye, the church would not be a body, would it? And it simply wouldn't work. Therefore, every member matters. Every member is significant within the church. You play an important part. You know, can you imagine if we all looked the same, we thought the same, we rationalised the same? The first thing that jumps into my head is Agent Smith in The Matrix, where they're just, yeah, all the same. It's a bit uncanny. We'd all be conformed to the same thinking, the same reasoning for different circumstances. You know, imagine if everyone were like me. Well, we'd all know way too much about cars. We'd love riding bikes. We'd like cooking. We'd only enjoy Agatha Christie books. I mean, would that really be that great? You know, say for instance, a girl bursts into the door just crying. And I wouldn't know what to do. So if we were all the same, this girl bursting crying, and we're all just standing there, a bit dumbfounded, just scratching our heads. No. Would you want to be a part of that community where we are all exactly alike? Would you want to be a part of that community? Well, it would be dull, I think. It would be a bit creepy. But it would also be incompetent. It would have so many blind spots. Now, I think that the enemy really hinders the church when we feel that we don't matter. And this can present itself in two ways. Two kind of key ways, I think, that it can cause division in the church. And they are envy and withdrawal. Envy and withdrawal. The enemy hinders the church when we believe we don't matter. And this can lead to members being jealous of other members. You know, we might say, oh, look at them up the front again. Oh, things just seem so easy for them. Why didn't God make me like them or make me with that gift? Our envy can cause division. It can cause bitterness. But here in this passage, God is saying to you that you contribute something unique, something important to your church. The church needs you because who you are is important and unique to this church. And secondly, the enemy hinders the church when we feel we don't matter, and this can lead to withdrawal. You know, I'll just skip Bible study tonight, or the weather's so nice, I'll just skip church this morning. Oh, I won't be missed. They won't notice if I'm not there. This one is dangerous. You know, like a coal separated from a fire dies, so too a withdrawn follower of Jesus is in grave danger when they're isolated. But more than that, your church misses you. When you aren't here, your church misses you. The people who you belong to miss you. And you actually hinder them by not contributing. As someone who belongs to this church, are you using your God-given abilities for the good of this church? Now, could you serve in a new way or lead a small group or commit yourself to prayer for this church? What would it really look like for you to contribute here? If you aren't yet a follower of Jesus, well, please recognize that this church is made up of many different looking people. And whilst we all may look so different, have different abilities, we all contribute something important to the church. Coming back to our question, why are you part of this church? Well, so far we've heard because you've been united to the people sitting around you. As a follower of Jesus, you are united to this church by the Holy Spirit living in you. And because you are an important part of this church. Well, so far we've addressed those who feel unnecessary or inferior. And now we turn to our third point this morning, the third reason why a follower of Jesus is here this morning. And that's because you can't do it alone. Each of us, whether you're a leader, a server, an encourager, whether you're young, whether you're old, you can't do it alone. Each of us depends on each other. You can't do it alone. Well, look with me through to verse 21 through to 26. It says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it." So Paul here uses the eye and the head to represent those who lead or contribute in a very public way. It's those same people who are likely to get that recognition or that praise for what they do and what they contribute. Their danger is a sense of superiority and self-sufficiency. Yet in a body, in our bodies, we know that no member is self-sufficient. So it is with the church. You know, no member of the church is self-sufficient. It's easy for us to think that we don't need other people. You know, I can do this on my own, it's fine. But on the contrary, you can't do it alone. But Paul goes a step further in verse 24. He said, "God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other." Not only do we depend on each other, we must honour others so as to avoid division. You know, we must have equal concern for each other, including people we don't see eye to eye with, people who might be vastly different from us. And why is that, do you think? Well, because the opposite of division is actually equal care, equal concern for each other. The opposite of division is equal care for one another. You know, are you actually caring, though, for others in your church equally? Are you caring for others in your church equally? All right, I want you to take a moment, just maybe loosen up. I'm feeling a bit tight, been a bit stressed coming here. It's like, oh, just take a moment. Take a deep breath with me, would you please? I want you to feel your toes in your shoes. Feel your fingers as you can thoughtlessly move them. Roll your shoulders. Come on, it feels good. Oh, it's nice. It's wonderful how the body works together. But now imagine that you lost, say, your right hand. Maybe there was an accident, I'm not sure, but you've lost your right hand. Let's just think on that for a moment. How are you going to write? How are you going to read and hold your book? How are you going to eat? How are you going to drive without your right hand? You know, life's all of a sudden gotten a lot more difficult, hasn't it, without a right hand? Imagine if you had to go grocery shopping and you can't drive, so you have to catch a bus. So you walk to the bus stop, you stand there in the cold, you wait for the late bus, you get on the bus, you've only got one hand to kind of help balance you down the aisle. You get to the shop, you grab a small trolley, you can only use your left hand, so you push it. Every time you get an item off, you've got to stop the trolley, pick up the item, put it in the basket or in your trolley, and then keep pushing it. You know, somebody has the audacity to ask you if you need a hand. Everyone is just kind of staring at your right arm. It's uncomfortable. You can only get a small amount of groceries because you can only carry 3 bags with one arm. You know, you get to the checkout, you pull each item up onto the conveyor. It's a bit more slow. You walk to the bus stop, you're waiting, the bus comes, you get on the bus, you put your bags down, you got to get your card out of your pocket, you tap it, then you put it back in, then you got to pick up your groceries, then you got to walk down the aisle, you've got not much to balance yourself with. You know, it gets really difficult, doesn't it? And that's just without a hand. We take for granted so often, don't we, the things in our life, in our body, that functions well, the things, when they function well, we just take that for granted, don't we? You know, it's not often until we have an ache or something wrong that we go, oh, gee, that was so nice when that was working well, wasn't it? And it's just like that with church. You know, as followers of Jesus, we can easily take each other for granted. We overlook each other's efforts and their contributions to our lives. But as followers of Jesus, we can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. We're almost there. I've just got two application questions for you on this point. Really two reflection questions that I want to propose to you. The first one is, are you building up every other member? Are you actually building up every other member? You know, are you ensuring the ordinary are built up, they're encouraged, they're appreciated? You know, are you showing equal care for one another within this church? You can say, hey, thanks for singing for us this morning. I couldn't have praised God without you. Or, hey, I really valued how you went up to that new person and said g'day. You know, we can do so many things to encourage and help each other. And secondly, a bit more bluntly, do you look down on other members? You know, is there anyone here that you look down on? Is there someone you think isn't actually necessary? This is your warning. You actually need them. You really do. That's not my words. That's God has made it that way. If you aren't yet a follower of Jesus, I hope you take away that God's church is made up of a community. It's full of people that need each other. You know, we're not isolated. We're not self-sufficient or individualistic. No. Rather, we suffer and we rejoice together. And that is a beautiful thing. So to wrap up, why are you part of this church? Why are you part of this church? Well, as a follower of Jesus this morning, may I remind you that you've been united to the people sitting around you. You know, with the Holy Spirit within you means that you are united to the people sitting around you. You're an important part of this church. You really are. You are an important part of this church. And you can't do it alone. Not one of us can do it alone. We need each other. So God has put you in this church with different abilities and roles so that you may serve and depend on each other. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that it is to be a part of your church. Lord, we thank you that you call us to be your people together so that we can praise you together, that we can delight in you together. And that is a wonderful thing, Lord. Lord, but we confess oftentimes church can be hard. It can be a lot of work. There can be so many unknowns of knowing where we fit or what our role is. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to serve, to contribute the gifts that you have given us. And Lord, may we just continue to try new things, to see where you bring blessing so that we may serve and love one another. And Lord, we thank you that this is how you have designed your church to be, to serve and to love one another. Lord, it is a wonderful thing for us to be a part of, and we thank you for that. Lord, help us, please, to continue to do this more and more, to be reminded that we do need each other and that we can lean and rely on each other. Lord, oftentimes we feel so alone or isolated or feel like we're just at the end of our tether and we don't know what to do. Lord, please help us to bring those things to light, to bring them to your community of people, get encouragement, to get wisdom so that we may know how to deal with these things. And Lord, we pray above all that you would help us to be a united church, a church that continually looks to you, a church that is continually at the foot of the cross praising you for your goodness toward us. And may we do so together more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.